one of my all-time favorite people in the Bible, has got to be the Virgin Mary. This is an incredible woman. She is literally the God-bearer. The one that, through the power of the Holy Spirit, brings into this world the fullness of God's presence. She has been likened, she's been compared to the Ark of the Covenant, because like the Ark, she has literally carried God. How cool is that? This is a mere human being elevated to the status of Mother of God. I mean, can you imagine that? I have enough trouble raising my mortal daughter, and Mary is responsible for raising Jesus the Christ. This is a woman of righteousness, a role model for all generations, an incredible person that we should all model. And that is why it saddens me that Christianity has done a huge disservice to the Virgin Mary. And it all started with one little problem. You see, Mary is really, really important. And that became a problem. As I said earlier, this is the Mother of God. It doesn't get much more important than that. And for a long time in Christianity, we talked about her importance, but we went too far. We elevated her from what she was to something that she was not. We took an incredibly important human being and we made her almost divine. In fact, sometimes Christianity did more than try to make her almost divine. Indeed, there were times in the history of Christianity that some theologians stopped talking about the Trinity altogether and began to speak of the Quaternity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Mary. They had effectively made Mary a goddess. This got so bad that even non-Christians began to be confused about what we believed. There are Muslim writings that condemn Christianity specifically for this. And their claim is that Christians believe in three gods: Father, Son, and Mary, cutting the Holy Spirit out altogether. And this wasn't because the Muslims had no idea what they were talking about. They had heard Christians saying that very thing. And the Muslims were right. This is blasphemy. And not only is it blasphemous, but it is a disservice to Mary herself. Look at what Mary does. Her entire life is pointing to God. In fact, look at why Mary is blessed. It's actually not because of the child that she will bear. She is not blessed merely because she gives birth to Jesus, though that is blessing enough. No, when the angel first comes, he says, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." Before she even knows that she is going to carry the Christ child, she is already called blessed by God. Why? Because she is living her life in such a way as to point to God. Mary is chosen for this honor, not so that she can become righteous, but because she is already living a life of righteousness, already pointing to God. So to elevate her to the level of God negates that entire mission, that entire life's work of pointing to the real divine. When Christians made her equal to God, they destroyed what she had been trying to do. But then Christianity overcompensated and swung the opposite way and basically pretended that she doesn't exist at all. It's true, too. Really, the only time that we talk about Mary is at Christmas. And even then, the emphasis is only on the fact that she gives birth to Jesus. But this is not only one of the central figures to the birth narrative, but of all of Christianity. But in general, we say nothing about her faith, nothing about her life's work of pointing to God. The Bible says that all generations will call her blessed. But really, we don't. We just call her the person through whom Jesus came. And that's not right either. Mary isn't divine, but she is still important to our faith. So how do we recapture that? Well, let's take a look at what our story actually says about Mary. It turns out that it says a lot about Mary because it's not actually a story about Jesus. We assume that it should be all about Jesus because we read it at Christmas time. But really, our main character here is Mary. Our attention is drawn naturally to her character. But here's the really neat thing. Mary is so devoted to pointing to God, the fact that the story is about Mary bounces us back to glorifying God. And she does that through her incredible life of witnessing and pointing to God. Just like last week, just like John the Baptist. This story is focused on Mary. She is the main character, not the coming Christ child, not even the angel, but Mary. But Mary is so devoted to God that when we reorient the story to her, we immediately see God through her faith. I mean, look at what we have here in this story. Mary, who was little more than what we today would call a child, is visited by an angel. And don't think one of those cute little angels like the ones in the Christmas pageants, like my daughter. And don't even think the majestic yet peaceful angel like the one in the stained glass behind me. No, she is visited by the angel Gabriel. A terrifying being of incredible power. Was he on fire, like most angels are described as being? I'm not sure. Was he carrying his signature giant spear? Probably. Either way, the visitation of this incredible being to this young woman would have had to have been terrifying. And don't think that Gabriel doesn't know it either. He knows that his presence is enough to make any mere mortal go into panic mode. That's why some of his first words to her are, "Fear not." Yeah. Like, that's going to help. But anyway, not only is his mere presence scary enough, but his announcement to her is almost as bad. "Oh, by the way," he seems to say, "I know that I'm terrifying and all. Sorry about singeing the carpets with my on-fireness. But fear not. Also, you're going to have a baby. And I know that you live in a culture where having a baby before being with your husband is a real no-no. But yeah, have fun. Oh, and did I mention that your baby is also going to be God?" Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that this is a bad thing for Mary. I mean, what an honor, right? What a privilege. But we cannot ignore the incredible degree of sacrifice that Mary shows here. Accepting this whole giving birth to God the Messiah thing is a really big deal. And one that could have easily gotten her into an incredible amount of serious trouble. By all rights, Joseph has no reason to believe Mary about any of this. I mean, even a righteous man would find her story hard to believe. Now, of course, we know that Joseph is visited by an angel himself and is told to believe Mary's story, but when Mary is chit-chatting with the fiery angel, she doesn't know that. For all she knows, this could be the end of her relationship with Joseph. And that's a problem. It's popular to talk about how Joseph could have had Mary executed on a charge of adultery. And that's been the subject of many and many a sermons. But honestly, that's a little overblown. Yes, technically, a husband could call for the stoning of his fiancée in this case. But that had really fallen out of favor by this time. What was much more likely was that Joseph would do exactly what he says he was going to do. That he would simply divorce her. But that would have basically put Mary and her unborn child out onto the streets. In that day and time, women were completely dependent on their husbands for everything. And no husband would have wanted to take in Mary and little Jesus, who was born out of wedlock. My point with all of this is simply that when Mary says yes to the angel, she was saying yes to the hardest life that she could imagine. She had no way of knowing how Joseph would react to the news, and she had to assume the worst. By agreeing to God's plan, she was essentially sacrificing herself. She was accepting God's plan, which didn't seem to end well for her at all. Now, of course, it turns out God had a better plan, one that involved this favored one being truly favored. Joseph is instructed to accept Mary's claim of divine intervention in her pregnancy. And that's what brings us back to God. This story is not really about Jesus. It is about Mary and her dedication to God's will. It is about how she is willing to sacrifice all that she has for the glory of God. She is willing to go out onto the streets for Him. And it is about how God ends up providing for her. This story is the story of the life of Mary, and that life points to God because of her faithfulness. The message of Mary is that we should orient ourselves to God, and that's why I like Mary so much. Mary's significance begins before the visitation of the angel. Mary is significant because for her entire life, she was waiting for God. Advent is the season of waiting, and our Advent is almost over. In a few short days, we will be back in this sanctuary singing Christmas carols and heralding the coming of the Christ child. And that's the message of Mary. Mary waits for God. Her existence is devoted to waiting for God to act in her life. And when God was finally ready to come into the world, when she was offered a chance to take part in that miraculous inbreaking of God, Mary was willing to sacrifice everything for Him. And that's what we are doing in Advent. We are waiting for God to come into our lives, but we are also coming toward the end of Advent. We are almost there, almost ready to join the Virgin Mary in welcoming Jesus into this world. And that's where our story becomes the most powerful. Obviously, we cannot all be the parent of God, but remembering that Mary is special not only because she is the God-bearer, but also because of her devotion to God, we can also live into that blessedness. We can model our lives after Mary, who was willing to sacrifice all that she knew in order to fulfill God's plan. And that is our calling. Our lives should be as devoted to God as the Mother of God was. And that is how we reclaim Mary. She's not a goddess, but she is more than a side character in our nativity scenes as well. Mary is our Christmas guide. She teaches us how to honor her Son. Now, in the name of the one Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.